Hello, everybody. This is Jake Sanziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast. We have my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbaro. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing good today. You want to know why I'm doing good?
I do. Yes, tell me.
We're going to be talking about multifamily specifically and where Jake and Gino crush it. Manage right. Ooh. It's sexy to buy the deal. It's sexy to go out and to finance the deal. But as you eloquently state, when you got the kid, you got to raise the kid.
You got to spend time with it.
And we are here to tell you how to raise your multifamily child on this podcast, Jake. That's why I'm happy. How you doing, brother?
Always making it happen, big man. I love that introduction. You got me fired up. And basically, we're talking four KPIs today that we think you may not be using. We use them. We're long-term buy and hold investors that really look for ways to optimize cash flow. So let's start with the first one, G Papa Funk. PPU. You down with PPU? Yeah, you know me. Actually, you tell me, what does PPU stand for?
It's very interesting, Jake. We were on a podcast with Frank Gallinelli a couple weeks ago.
The OG.
And when you brought up PPU, he was a little baffled. He was a little bewildered. He is the spreadsheet god. He's all about Excel. He's a teacher at Columbia. His son's teaching at Yale. Safe to say that he's a lot smarter than Jake and Gino when it comes to the academics. But PPU.
What about making money in the street?
That's what we're all about. PPU is profit per unit. And we've thrown that word around in a lot of different areas. We've been to seminars. We've been to events. And I would say 5% of the people know exactly what it is. And I probably would say less than 5% use the metric. And I'm here to tell you, if you incorporate it as one of your metrics, all of a sudden you'll understand profitability of the portfolio. Hey, it's great to say I've got 5,000 doors. Well, how much money are you making on those 5,000 doors? And you'll get like looks like, No, tell me the profit per unit. Why is that important? Because if you've got a three-bedroom that's profiting $400 per unit, and you've got a one-bedroom that's profiting $100, well, you have the opportunity or the ability to say, maybe I want to focus on the three bedrooms and not the one-bedroom.
Maybe I'll pay a little more for a three-bedroom next time. Yeah,
I like that. So you could expand upon it, but just have an open mind as you're listening to this. Profit per unit is I think one of our most important metrics that we've gravitated towards. Every month, we look at the number, we report it, and more importantly, it's different for every different market. We're in East Tennessee. If you're looking in San Francisco, you better be getting more profit per unit in those areas, because obviously the price per unit is a lot more. So understanding in your market, figuring out what a good profit per unit in your market is, it's cash that's left over after everything is paid, my friend.
Let me try my best button up Columbia Frank Gallinelli here and go into PPU 101. So the first step to PPU 101, you have to do a draw report every month. What is that? That is how much money you're going to be paying yourself and your fellow partners, owners within the organization. So we have a baseline on our draw report. Say it's $50,000 per month. The baseline is the money that will be left in that account regardless, no matter what. Everything above the baseline is coming back to the partnership. So if the first of the month on the bank statement, not the income statement, the bank statement, there's $70,000 in there on the first of the month. And we don't cheat. We don't look at the checking account. We look at the bank statement, okay? We're very disciplined with that. So if there's $70,000 on the bank statement, first of the month, and there's a $50,000 baseline, 70 minus 50 gives you 20, okay? There's 100 units. You divide it by the amount of units. That gives you your PPU. Great PPU, $300 plus, per unit per month. Mediocre PPU, $100. Anything below that? Well, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, what are we doing here? All right, are we in this one for the long term? Because that can be challenging. And maybe there's a renovation going on. Maybe there's future upside, coming down the pipe. But that's PPU 101. Very important, and I think a lot of people miss it.
And it's important that you said that, Jake. Some of our assets that we've just taken over the last, I would say,
6 months, the last two assets that we're repositioning right now, we're not really looking at those from a profit per unit because they're not stabilized.
Not ready yet.
They're not ready yet.
They haven't learned to poop on the toilet by themselves. Talking about raising kids, right?
Yeah. But once they do,
they got to wipe their own ass first. All right?
They're going to rip that diaper off and they're going to go, "Pops, wipe me, baby." Yeah. And they're not ready to wipe yet. But once they start wiping, man, it is a great feeling, isn't it? It's just like, dude, I've done my job. But then you're going to continue the job.
Okay.
But
you got to continue. Okay. I gotcha.
It's important. So you have a $20,000 draw divided by 100 units. You have a $200 profitability per unit per month. And that's important to understand because then you're going to say to yourself, like we just mentioned, well, are you shooting for $200? Are you shooting for $300? And then you're understanding, well, I just spent $100,000 per unit to get a $200 per month, you know, profitability. Now you start looking at it from that lens. There's so many different ways that you can start analyzing the performance of your portfolio by looking at profit per unit.
Next one, this one, whoof, man, let me tell you about this one. The water bills. All right. Nope. We're going water bills right now, Gino, because this one is the one your team is going to resist the most to find. It's the most annoying, but there's one thing that I hate doing, and that's lighting money on fire. And the quickest way to light money on fire is by pouring water into the dirt. Now, I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, fire, water, but I'm going to tell you right now, the water, if there's a leak, will go into the dirt. The water company will bill you for sewer that's never being used. That's twice as much as the water coming in. So you're getting three times rammed on that one. That is the most painful thing you can do. We have a metric. It's $50 per unit or less per month in average water cost. Some of them go above it, but we work day in and day out to find the leaks. We know that based on our water metrics and our portfolio, that's achievable. It's not easy, but it's achievable. We have some units that are 35. Some units are pushing upwards of 60, and we got to hone in there, some four bedrooms, et cetera. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of the most overlooked components in the business. People don't break it down on a per unit basis, and they don't look at their portfolio in totality, so they never know really where they need to be dialed in. Look, different markets are different. Different, you know, water companies have different rates. Find out where you should be, create a metric, and fight day in and day out to hit that. We actually look weekly on our, what we call a pulse report, water is listed on there. Water per unit for each entity is listed on there. Again, the water only comes out once a month, but we're tracking it weekly to see where we're at and really managing that cost, because you want to run up expenses. You want to know not, you know, basically not run a business acting like, oh, I'm just an investor. Don't follow your water costs. It'll bite you every time.
Boy, I could follow this up with a couple of things. The first thing I want to put in Jake's mind is he just went from wiping his kid's ass to having money lit on fire and having water go into the dirt. So, you know,
I didn't even talk about baby wipes.
You didn't. You so the reason why this is important, if you have a portfolio, I think we should mention this because this is really important. You start to understand when you're underwriting deals where there's value. If you're underwriting a deal and all of a sudden the water seems a little high and it's like $90 or $100, you're saying to yourself, there's the value add right
there.
That
could be $1,000 a month right there, easily.
Easily. Yeah. Easily. And that's why it's important. Now, the age of the asset is going to have a lot to do with it. These older builds, so don't go and kill your property managers if you see a little bit, because if you've got a 1940s build that has copper piping, it's going to have pin leaks. There's going to be leaks. You're trying just to manage it and trying to find a baseline and trying to say, hey, we're not going to go above this number. And it's just important because if you can't measure it, then you can't manage it. All you're trying to do is manage your costs. And I'm telling you, once you get these costs down, you start saying to yourself, that is a lot of money. All of a sudden, you're looking at the profitability of the portfolio, and that PPU is directly impacted by this metric that Jake is talking about with water bills.
Well said, Gino. And here's the thing: we're gonna get, you know, let's just hit it right now. We look at occupancy a little bit differently. So you're saying, okay, everyone knows to look at, I need to be 90%, you know, occupied, 96% occupancy. I think 96 is a great number. Honestly, you know, I think anything above 93, if you're consistently hitting that, you may want to look and say, are my rates high enough? So that's one thing to be said. But we look at vacant unrented. We do not charge a security deposit. So we're not holding money in an account. We have a combination of a sure bond and a move-in fee. So from day one, we'll have hard money on a unit. So essentially, we have hard money once the person puts their move-in fee down. So what we're really looking for is how can we improve? And that is the vacant units that are unrented. The vacant units that are rented have hard money down on them for the month. Okay. So it's the units that are vacant but unrented on your rent roll that we look at most closely. And look, we're looking at the occupancy rate. Like I said, we like to see 96% or better. But what we're looking to push our teams and find the improvement to improve that PPU to make sure we're maximizing our portfolio, we're looking at the units that are vacant, unrented, not just the vacant units, specifically the vacant unrented. And those are what we target. And look, the goal is always zero, right? We may not hit that. We have three vacant unrented at the end of the month or whatever, but the goal is zero. And so we're not pushing our, you know, teams on, hey, you know, so much, what's your occupancy rate, which is important. It's the vacant unrented units that we specifically look at and our team reports on every night.
When you're looking at occupancy, it's really specific to a certain market. I remember we were in the Lexington market. I mean, occupancy was 91, 92%, 93 possibly. So don't think that you hear Jake saying 96 is great. Some markets don't achieve that. So understand your market. And if you want to learn more about this, just email me, gino@jakeandgino.com. I'll send you a copy of our best-selling book, Wheelbarrow Profits. It talks about the buy right, the finance right, and the manage right. And it talks about how to find your next multifamily specifically and how to build it as a business. But this one was very important because for us, we took security deposits. And that's why this metric came up. And it's like, wow, you really want to focus on occupancy. You really want to get butts in seats. That's what your job is as a property management company. Because ultimately, what are you doing? You are selling time. The more that these units are vacant, you never get that money back. So it's incumbent upon you to track this number and make sure that you are leasing these apartments as they come up.
My new slogan, your most expensive unit is your vacant, unrented unit. Woohoo! Tag that on, sucker.
I got to write this one down, baby. I'll go back and listen to this again. I'll get it on the way back.
That's right. All right, our final one. This is one that we just started using recently, and we call it percent repaired.
Now, time out. I have to give Jake
credit. He just pulled the e-brake on me.
Yeah, I have to give Jake a ton of credit because this is what makes him an amazing partner. The guy never sleeps, and he's always trying to get better. And he sees a problem, and he doesn't go out and starts complaining and yelling at people. What his idea is what's the solution? How can we find a solution to this problem? It's starting to bother me. I'm starting to get an itch. Instead of it coming into a full-blown infection, he says to himself, time out. I know there's a solution here. I've got 80-plus team members. Let's brainstorm this thing, and what can we come up with? And the solution is what the metric he's going to talk about. And for me, it was so simple, yet so profound. And within 2 months of implementing it, it's almost game-changing. It's been amazing to see the progression. And it really is finding somebody on the team who is accountable, who's Josh. Big shout out.
Tap daddy. Found him.
Amazing. And what I saw, the numbers is going down drastically. Once again, if you can't measure it, then you can't manage it. And if you're saying, well, profit per unit, it doesn't really matter. Well, if you don't know how much money you're making, how are you going to say I want to make this amount if you don't know how much you're making today? And, you know, I know I've had this big buildup and I think they're expecting like this really massive, like, what is this, epiphany? But if you want to build an enduring organization, if you want to return a ton of capital to your investors, if you want to really create a great customer experience, if you want to prolong and have your residents continue to lease up so you don't have vacant unrenteds or vacant rented sitting there, this metric to us, I mean, personally, has been a game changer, and we've only been using it for a few months.
All right. I got to stop the lead up, but I will give you a little bit more before we get there. So start with the end in mind. Start with the goal. Our goal is to create an enduring organization with quality homes and quality service. Think Chick-fil-A of apartments. I know everyone's sick of me talking about that. So how do you do that? You reverse engineer it. And that comes down to the service that you're giving your residents day in and day out. And so we're looking at our KPIs going, okay, so much of it is focused around occupancy. And we have these different metrics for move-ins and scores like that. But we need to really push down our open work orders. So how are we going to do that? We're going to look at it the same way we look at occupancy, and we're going to treat it with the same intensity and reporting and management that we do occupancy. So every week now, we are reporting on what we call percent repaired. Same idea of occupancy. You have a certain amount of work orders out there divided by the units. That gives you a percent repaired. What does good look like? 96%. So we started this process a few months ago. By next month, which is April, we'll have all of our districts over 90%. There's two outstanding right now that are in the 80s. One's about 85, one's 83. They will be beyond the 90% threshold next month on the march to 96. And it all started because we started tracking it and managing it, and we saw a ridiculous uptick. You know what they like, that hockey stick curve, right? It was slow, and then it just shot up when we started tracking this. The team members got engaged, and they got very competitive when they saw their name on the leaderboard every week getting shared throughout the entire organization.
But Jake, talk about it at a little bit of a deeper level, because we've had thousands of residents come. Some have really stayed at our apartments, and some haven't. What is the biggest defect in apartments? I mean, in your opinion, is it this percent repaired when you have work orders that are outstanding and you have a resident that's like, man, can you come fix my hot water heater? It's been 3 weeks. Isn't that the crux where if you can solve that issue and work with the maintenance team, because maintenance is such a difficult,
but you got to be a cheerleader for your folks too, right? So if you guys got your folks out there and your maintenance techs and your different team members, you have to build them up and be a cheerleader for these folks, okay? Because it is challenging, to Gino's point. And I'll go back to when you and I first started, and you know what I'm going to be talking about. The third apartment complex that we purchased, the day we took over, we had a gentleman come in, said his stove wasn't working. So what did we do? We replaced it. And he started crying because he went over, I think, a year without having a working stove because the apartment complex was instituting what we call the death spiral. They don't fix anything. They keep rents low. They don't have any money to repair anything. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. And it's a death spiral. So it's very important to, you know, be able to charge enough where you're able to do the repairs and you know, fix up the property. And so you can actually make a profit. And then you're able to take care of your folks as well. They go hand in hand. But ultimately, if you're taking care of your folks, like people are treated at Chick-fil-A, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, you know, et cetera. And getting these work orders done in a timely fashion with courtesy and respect for the residents, you're going to retain people. And remember what we said a minute ago, your most expensive unit is your vacant unrented unit. Well, if you want to keep vacant unrented units low, take care of your folks and create a world-class experience for them and track it with net promoter scores. Your folks will listen to you. We have a section on our net promoter score where we actually ask, what can we be doing better? And when we get feedback on there, we act on it. So I think it's there's your point one, Gino, by the way. NPS, baby.
And it's important. If you're out there and you're managing a portfolio or you're dealing with third-party property management and you're looking to bring it in-house or you're just struggling, just go to the website, jakeandgino.com/apply. Apply to work with our team. We have a great mentorship program. Our students have closed over 75,000 units. It's over $5 billion in transactions. They've raised over $500 million. Our coaches are property management coaches as well. We have property management coaches on staff who are students come on. There's a lot of students who have never done a deal before. They'll come and they'll want to learn the buy right and the finance right. They need to learn those first. But we have a lot of students who have hundreds of units. And when they see us teaching on this and they see us teaching about the cadence of accountability and building a property management company and working with your third-party property management company, these are some of the things you can be implementing with your third-party property management company and having them. And they're going to look at you like a deer in headlights, because the majority of them have forgotten how to property manage over the last couple of years because it was easy to do it. Once COVID hit, you could fog a mirror, but now things are a lot different. So if you're looking for that help, if you're looking to become profitable again, if you're looking to find out what KPIs work for your portfolio, that's what we do at Jake and Gino. We don't only teach buy right and finance right. We teach to manage right. I think one of the only educational companies out there that's proud about teaching about management.
Gino, that's the difference with Jake and Gino, is that there's other mentorship groups out there for sure that can teach you how to buy it. We're going to teach you how to raise the kid. We can teach you how to buy it because we do it day in and day out. But we're also going to teach you how to raise the kid, which is the management of it and the long-term financing. The reason we're standing here today, you know, in a very strong position also, and we're not going to get into it, is because we didn't take on short-term debt. And our community, we really preached long-term, you know, fixed rate financing. And that's why our community's also striving and, or excuse me, thriving, you know, throughout a time when other people took on bridge and are struggling, and not the Jake and Gino community.
Jake, you put me in a really good mood. I'm gonna give out one more freebie.
Hey, man, I did my job for the day. I feel good.
Really did. Listen, if you want another tool that we use in property management, we use something called the property log. And this is something that Jake and I, as we've done and as we've grown our property management company, we weren't born with these tools. We weren't born with these KPIs. We've learned by doing. Mm-hmm. The property log is something that you need to implement for every single property. Don't be like Jake and Gino and have 1,200 units and go, oh, I think we should have a property log for every property.
Born out of necessity.
It really was. So if you want a property log, just email me, Gino@jakeandgino.com, and I'll forward it over to you. It's such a useful tool to have every single property on its own log. Do you want to know when you clean the gutters out? Do you want to know when you power washed? Do you want to know who the electric provider is for that property? Who's cable? Once you have that, you give it to your property manager. If and when they leave, you give it to the next one. If you want to refinance the property, if you want to sell it, all the information is on this log. And before we sign off, we've only shared the four metrics that we really like, that we've really been highlighting over the last couple of months. We have dozens of metrics. Wish we could share them all on the podcast. But like I said, just go to jakeandgino.com/apply and find out what other metrics there are. Find out how it looks like to work with our team to help you continue to build your portfolio and make your portfolio as profitable as possible.
You know, as the great Vince Vaughn said in Wedding Crashers, hot route. That's all we shared with you today. What's on the wristband? We shared the hot routes. Okay, there's a lot more to it. But gang, as always, you know it's the G-Daddy. It's the Jakey. And we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's a G-Daddy. And we make it happen. We'll see you next time.